Newsbreak podcast.
A very happy Saturday afternoon to you. Welcome to Newsbreak Talk. I'm Tariq Hari Prashad. It's where you get to give your views a voice every weekend between 12 and 1 o'clock. It's Cutting Edge Current Affairs today, and we are going to bring you some interesting conversations. Everybody knows we're building up to elections 2024. Busy time for all of us, and certainly a very busy time for the Newsbreak team. We're all over the place. Like I said to Talisha yesterday, which city am I in today? Because I don't know. But that is the nature of the game, and we love doing it just to bring you that bird's eye view of what's going on across the country and the build up to elections so that you can make the best possible decision on May the 29th, right? To follow on from that and to take that point further, what's an effective leader? Right? Isn't that the question on everybody's lips right now? Who gets my vote? Who is the most promising leader? Who should I vote for? There's so many layers to this. There's so many contexts to this. It's political, it's social, it's developmental, it's legislative, it is charisma, it is municipal and communal. So it's so many ways to look at what makes a good leader. In the build-up to elections 2024, while we've got a lot of debates going on and a lot of conversations with politicians and those jostling for your votes, I thought a good place to start for us would be to identify and understand what makes a good leader, right? What are those qualities that's going to get somebody to get your vote on May the 29th, when you think of a person who's led completely well, who's led earnestly, you know, what are those qualities? So I'm actually going to open up the lines here and ask you an 0716137803. What are your ideas and your examples of a leader? Now, usually people would mention names and personally tell me, oh, I like this person, I like that person, this person has done that, I'm voting for this person. And I guess you're allowed democratically, constitutionally, but within a broadcast perspective, I don't really want to get into that. So if you could make your point without mentioning too many names, because that's just going to be tantamount to advertising, it's going to be tantamount to publicity, and I don't want that on my head building up into elections. So if you could just tell us, what's your idea of a good leader? What is your example of a good leader? Even leaders of the past. I think that's a good one. And contemporary leaders, those who are making a difference in your community, those who are making a difference in the areas you live in, without mentioning their political party or their names even, just talk to me about, you know, what are these examples of somebody who's really displayed exemplary leadership. They need not even be politicians. Sometimes community activists and workers are really doing the work of politicians far better than politicians ever could. So you could put that forward to me and talk to me about what's going to entice you ahead of elections to vote for somebody. So that's our conversation. We are going to speak to a little bit of my guests here today on the program to get a sense of what they're saying to us and how they're advising us. But that's really our conversation today on the program. What is effective political leadership ahead of the polls? I'd love to hear from you.
Welcome to the stories that warm your heart and ignite your spirit every morning on Expresso. Do you know a young hero making waves in your community? We want to hear from you. Share their inspiring stories with us on our WhatsApp line 063-408-8863 and let's celebrate their achievements together. And here's the best part. You could join us live in studio to tell your story. Expresso Morning Show, every weekday morning at 6 to 9 a.m. only on S3.
University of Johannesburg and University of the Western Cape have a mammoth task to illustrate what a pitch distinction looks like. This is the Hollywood Bet Super League. Witness the Varsity Derby, UJ Ladies FC versus UWC Ladies FC, this Sunday, 14 April at 3 p.m. live on SABC Sport on DTT Channel 4. Also available on SABC Plus and SABCSport.com. Hashtag We Love It Here. Proudly brought to you by SABC Sport.
So indeed, we're talking about effective leadership. And, you know, somebody who's often given me a great deal of conversation about effective leadership, what it meant, and I think a lot of conversations on corruption, and perhaps I said that the wrong way, but not conversations on corruption, but conversations on how to mitigate corruption and reduce it, has been Advocate Paul Hoffman, the director and head of projects at Accountability Now. And he's so graciously made the time to join us today on The Conversation. Advocate Hoffman, welcome to Newsbreak Talk. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Now, it's an interesting time. I know you eagerly await for this time of the year. You possibly, I can just picture you sitting with popcorn and coffee on the couch, listening to whatever the leaders of the day say, questioning, though, are they ever going to deliver it? So it's an interesting time, I think, for the entire of South Africa to look at what leaders are saying. But really, where does one start? There's so much going on.
One has to keep calm and carry on. But what you do when you are in a season like this and all active and participatory citizens have the right to have their say and to vote for the party or candidate of their choice, because this time we will be able to vote for independent candidates as well as those who belong to political parties. What you need to concentrate on is three things. The values that are important to South Africans, the goals of our constitution, and the manner in which particular leaders seek to address the challenges that face us now. And as you know, in my opinion, the main challenge in South Africa today, the challenge that is behind most of the other challenges that you can name, is corruption. Well, let's look at the values first, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think that just to intercept there, I think three very great starting points. And yeah, perhaps we could just expand on them. You were saying values being very important there.
Well, if you want to know about the values of the new South Africa, you look at Chapter 1 of the Constitution, because they're all neatly spelt out there. Our new South Africa, which was new in 1994, which is 30 years ago, so it's not so new anymore, is that we are founded on four particular values. A, human dignity, the achievement of equality, and the advancement of human rights and freedom. That they put first. B, non-racialism and non-sexism. C, supremacy of the Constitution and the rule of law. And D, universal voting in a multi-party constitutional democracy to ensure accountability, responsiveness, and openness. Then I've quoted you the provisions of the first section of our constitution, and it spells out the values upon which our constitutional order is founded. So if we accept the supremacy of the constitution, and that those who paint outside the lines of the Constitution or conduct themselves in a way that is inconsistent with the Constitution, then we are getting ourselves into the sort of territory in which we elect servant leaders, those who take public office to serve the people, rather than the politics of the stomach, leaders who are taking political positions in order to satisfy their own greed and feed their own cronies rather than serve the interests of the people in general. Now, if you work on the basis that your vote should go to somebody who subscribes to those values, then what are the goals that we are seeking to achieve? That better life for all. How do you make a better life for all, which is also promised in the Constitution, way down towards the back of the Constitution.
I think that leads possibly then to the second part that you identified as being the three key pillars there. Of course, the goals of the Constitution then and how to uphold that. You know, I just still get that shudder down my spine when I think of previous leaders of the South African Republic being called out for failing to uphold the principles of the Constitution. These were state leaders, you know. So when you look at it from that point of view, I mean, South Africa not doing too well in that regard, is it?
No, part of the problem in that regard is that too many of the people who have got into leadership positions in South Africa have not used the Constitution as their guiding light or the value system that they swear to uphold when they get appointed. They say when they are sworn into office that they will uphold the Constitution and all other laws of the Republic. But too many of them have rather been attracted by revolutionary ideas, the values of the National Democratic Revolution, which clash with the values of the Constitution, do not, in the efforts of politicians, do not chime with what the Constitution requires. And they get called out on it. As you know, former President Zuma was called out by the Constitutional Court after he used public money, the people's money, to improve his compound at Nkandla. The Chief Justice was very strict with him and said, look, you are a creature of the Constitution and you cannot paint outside the lines or do as you please. You have to behave yourself in a way that is consistent with the Constitution. And that eventually led to his early resignation during his second term as president. He's now, I see, making a political comeback as opposition to the party that elected him, both to the leadership of the ANC and to the presidency of the country. So that is if you've got the wrong value system, you're not going to lead in the way that the Constitution requires you to lead. The first three words of the Constitution are, we the people, and we the people said what we wanted back in 1994.
Absolutely.
And we need to vote in that way.
Yeah. To intercept there before we talk about the third one you mentioned, what does South Africans then do? What can South Africans do when a leader flouts the Constitution to that level, right? And I know that's a very broad question, right? But if you look at it, then the examples we're talking about, the former President Jacob Zuma, I mean, so many people lit candles and took them to the streets, but really what happened? Did they get any of the money they claimed was stolen as per the violation of the Constitution? So I think my question then becomes is, when an electorate realizes that a leader is flouting the Constitution to this level, what is the effective step to take to sort of bring them to book?
Okay, well, what happened with President Zuma was that he was subjected to public interest litigation to protect the human rights of South Africans, which is a right that you have in Chapter 2 of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. So if human rights are being interfered with by the way that leaders are misbehaving, one of your remedies is to resort to public interest litigation. But of course, everybody is rolling their eyes and saying that that costs a lot of money and I haven't got a lot of money. But there are other things that you can do. You can complain to the public protector, which costs you absolutely nothing and triggers an investigation of maladministration by the public protector. Or if your complaint is one that your human rights are being disrespected, not being promoted, not being fulfilled, then you can go to the Human Rights Commission and ask it to investigate, and that too costs you nothing. So there are plenty of remedies built into our Constitution to make sure that we can hold our politicians to account and ensure that the way in which they behave, the way in which they conduct themselves, is indeed responsive to the needs of ordinary people, which is what Section 1 of the Constitution requires them to do.
Yeah. Advocate Hoffman, I was interested then about manner in which these leaders address challengers. You're saying that's, you know, another, I think, the third salient point there. Perhaps if we could talk about this one. I know there's so much of big national slash global issues at play here, but I wanted to also look at it, you know, within the confines of the electorate on a ward level, on a municipal level. Daily, South Africans say to me, this is not fixed, that is not fixed, and the politicians of the time at a local level do not know how to address these challenges. They don't have a correct manner to fix it. They leave us to our own devices. Your criticism on how to identify leaders who are really not playing the game at a local level, and then what should the electorate be keeping in mind going into polls?
Well, I have to tell you that the values that I've described to you are applicable at national, provincial, and local level. They're applicable to our state-owned enterprises. They are applicable to municipalities. They are applicable to the public administration. The provisions of Section 7, subsection 2 of the Constitution are to the effect that the state must respect, protect, promote, and fulfill all of the human rights that are guaranteed to us in the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights is a whole chapter of the Constitution and promises all manner of human rights, better than the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, to the people living in South Africa. So if you have a problem at local level, you can probably trace it back to a failure to respect the right to water in your tap, electricity in your light switch, and service delivery in general. And politicians at local level are no different to politicians at national level. They take the same oath of office. They are also subject to our supreme law, which we call the Constitution. And if you're worried about whether the goals of the Constitution are being met in your own neighborhood, and ask yourself the PS questions. There are three PS questions. Do I have peace that is secure? Are the police looking after me? Do I have progress that is sustainable? Are we heading in the right direction, or are we ruining things for future generations? And do I enjoy prosperity that is equitably shared? Remember, we said achievement of equality is one of the values. The goal for that value is to get to prosperity that is equitably shared. So PS, peace, secure, progress, sustainable, and prosperity that is shared is what, those are the fundamental questions that a voter should ask before deciding where to put his or her ex in the forthcoming elections at the end of May.
You know, and I think those points have just been so salient. I literally, you know, you had me at every point of it. You know, and you did bring it down to that local level, but your advice then, again, as basic as this question is, what is your advice to South Africans watching the politicians of the time? And how should they be really looking at what's being put on the table before they cast their vote? You know, I've done so many manifesto, an analysis, really. It's got something to say, but how are they actually speaking to what the electorate needs?
Yes, we're getting back to my favorite question, which we've talked about the values. They're in the Constitution, Chapter 1, Section 1. We've talked about the goals, which is the PS. Now we talk about addressing the challenges. And I want to put it to you again that most of the challenges in South Africa today can be attributed to the rampant levels of serious corruption that we are facing at this time in our history. We talk about state capture as though it is in the past. I'm afraid it's not. State capture is in the present as well. levels of serious corruption. We've just seen our speaker, the third most senior politician personage in the country, arrested for corruption. We've seen President Zuma standing trial for corruption. We even have a sitting president who hasn't really explained how it came about that his couch at Parlapar was stuffed with US dollars in their thousands. All of these things are part of the challenge of addressing corruption. The people, when they vote, have to be careful to vote for parties or individuals who have a serious approach towards addressing the scourge of corruption that threatens to derail the future of our country, because so much has been stolen that if we allow it to continue, there will come a point when there's nothing left to steal, and South Africa will fail as a state, the rule of law will collapse, and life will be nasty, brutish, and short. So look at what the politicians are saying in relation to their plans to deal with corruption in the future. And you will find, if you drill down into that, that most of the opposition parties in Parliament have come to the conclusion that it's time to have a new Chapter 9 institution like the Human Rights Commission and the Public Protector that is devoted and specialized with dealing with the problems of corruption, the challenges of corruption, in a manner that is already prescribed in binding terms by the Constitutional Court. There was litigation more than 10 years ago in which that court laid down the criteria by which our anti-corruption regime should be established. And those criteria have never been put in place by any ANC government, and even their current bill, the Investigating Directorate Against Corruption Bill, is not constitutionally compliant. It is really lip service to what the Constitution and indeed the Constitutional Court require in relation to corruption. So, yeah. To my way of thinking, when you're choosing your leader, you choose one that is going to have a healthier attitude towards dealing with corruption.
I tell you what, I think it is time for us to wrap up, but I'm going to sneak in one more question before we wrap this one up, and that is, you know, perhaps something we've not spoken about, and this was on my mind a lot of the times, the ethos of political parties, right? Each political party has some sort of culture, has some, like you said, values, right? But the way they speak it or deliver it, or the way they make the rest of South Africans feel welcome or unwelcome in their folds, with the things they say, you know, we've heard of terms like firebrand leaders or controversial leaders, you know, so the way leaders take to the podium, right? What impact does that have on the South African when they're called out, when they're name called, when, you know, the policies spoken by certain leaders don't actually represent the core values of the electorate? How should South Africans be dealing with that?
Yes, well, you vote them out of power. That's what you do. And the fewer people who vote for politicians who are not serious about the Constitution and either pay lip service to it or threaten to tear it up as soon as they're elected, which is something that we hear from the NK party these days. If you look at the wording used in the preamble to the Constitution, and ask yourself whether the person you're voting for actually takes those words seriously, then you're going to know whether you are voting for somebody who is interested in healing the divisions of the past to establish a society based on democratic values, social justice, and fundamental human rights. That is what our constitution is about. And too many politicians seem to think that political office is an opportunity to pursue a revolutionary agenda. It's not. When you get into political office, you swear to uphold the constitution. And that you have to do on pain of being called out in public interest litigation or in complaints to the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission. Because all of those institutions operate within the parameters of the Constitution and not within the parameters of some ideology which is at odds with the Constitution.
Yeah, Advocate Paul Hoffman, Head of Projects and Director of Accountability. Now, thanks for your time. I think lots for us to mull over and possibly lots to reconsider in the build-up to elections.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. Let me put in a quick advert, if I may. The stuff I've been talking about is dealt with in a handbook on the Constitution, which is available for free on the website of Accountability Now. The handbook is called Know Your Rights, Claim Your Rights, and the web address of Accountability Now is accountabilitynow.org.za.
Yeah, know your rights, claim your rights, and that's how you can become more informed. Thanks so much, Advocate Hoffman, for providing us with that bit of information. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
So there we go. That was a nice bird's eye view of three big principles as highlighted there by Advocate Paul Hoffman from Accountability Now. You need to know the values of that political party. You need to identify their goals in relation to upholding the Constitution, and you need to identify their manner in the way they address challenges. And he says these are three big pillars to look at effective leadership and effective leaders going into the election. What does it mean for you? I do have another guest coming up that I want to talk to you about this on a local level, but I do want to hear what you've got to say. The views and opinions expressed on Newsbreak Talk do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the SABC or Lotus FM. Selvin TG from Reservoir Hills.
Karesh, greetings to you and the listeners. Once again, here you are, concerned about the society, creating the awareness. Keep it up. The good leader, I would suggest, is someone who's educated, like we have in one of those countries in Europe, where they're not interested in, they get a normal salary, they don't have hidden agendas, they're educated, and most of them have qualifications like engineers, architects, so they contribute to the infrastructure. Populism must be out, and the other thing is good leaders should not have any ulterior motives for corruption, so they have to also implement the promises they make prior to elections. That's basically my opinion of a good leader. And also a person who misleads us, there should be some clause where they must be removed within so many months or taken out of parliament, not given bail and have a hearing and that goes on. Thank you, Taresh. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks so much for that, Selvin TG from Reservoir Hills. I've got Nasreen Kassim from Utrecht.
Hey Taresh, happy weekend. Politics has many, many layers, like you say. You know, when you deal with each political party, it's like peeling an onion. The deeper you get into the onion, the more tears you shed. Leadership is all about serving. It's not about titles. You know, you serve, you reduce your status to that of a servant. You serve your community, you serve your people, you serve your country. And, you know, what we're dealing with currently, we don't have that servant attitude with politicians.
Interesting points being raised by Nasreen. Salim Adam, do you concur?
Hi, Taresh. You know, when you come to leadership, you know, you must have a person that is decisive, a person that can make decision. You can have a person, you know, you must have a person that got vision. You know, you must be able to lead with vision and clear vision. You must be able to talk, influence, and collaborate. You must be a person of integrity. You must be a person that got courage. At the same time, you know, as a person must be respected. Now, if you look at South Africa, we had President Mandela. During his time of presidency, he held the country together. You know, he didn't allow the country to burn and go into civil war. He had ex-president Thabo Mbeki, you know, he built the country and he worked, had a vision for Africa. If you look at Mahatma Gandhi, you know, he was humbleness. He was very humble. If you look at President, if you look at Mr. Rajbansi, Mr. Rajbansi was a leader and he was a person that had a lot of courage. He stood up and he can face and talk for the people, particularly the Indian people. So, you know, a person must have a quality of respect, integrity, leadership. He must be a person that can really make decision and a person that we can trust.
Yes, Salim, I think from the sort of list you provided there, what came through strongly was, you know, leaders who knew what they wanted, were very clear on what they were wanting to. Like I said, Amitchand Rajbansi, he knew he wanted to uplift the lives, as we know it, of the minority communities, and that's what he devoted his time. Of course, Mandela wanted to bring about, you know, freedom and democracy for all races, all marginalized communities. And of course, then once that happened, then it became reconciliation between, you know, those communities who were at loggerheads for all these years. And if you look at perhaps then Mahatma Gandhi going so far back, the sort of passive resistance movement of creating peace and unity amongst all. So I think, Salim, you're raising a solid point there about leaders knowing where they're going, not just, you know, punching above their weight, wanting to just stand at a podium and speak, but you don't know what the point is actually. And of course, that all then leads to self-enrichment, doesn't it? So thanks so much, Salim, for that very thought-provoking sort of list you gave us. Let's go to Renee Pillay, I believe. Am I right? Yeah?
Good afternoon, Tariyash, and to the Newsbreak team. Firstly, I must commend both you, the AM and PM Newsbreak teams, for the brilliant work that you guys do in keeping us updated and informed. Especially now with the election debate road trip, gives us a better understanding in making wise decisions with the upcoming elections. With regards to your topic, I couldn't agree more with your guest in studio. He hits the nail on the head. I agree 100% with whatever he's saying. And I think a good leader would be someone who is trustworthy, reliable, and incorruptible. Someone who puts the needs of the people before their own and treats every race group equally when it comes to service delivery and recruitment for jobs. Thank you. God bless. Bye.
Thanks so much. And listen, if you have not already booked your schedule for next week, Saturday, you should do what Mr. Rajan Rajkumar in Cape Town is doing, because he says he can't wait for next Saturday this time, because that's when the Newsbreak team is going to be in Cape Town for our election debate roadshow coming to Gatesville. Of course, I'll keep you updated with details throughout the week with the dresses and times and all of that, and you can know exactly how to get to us in Cape Town to have that community conversation and engagement. But he goes on to say, a good leader is a person with integrity and a proven track record. Deepak says leadership should encompass honesty, high discipline, selflessness, and a strong passion to cater for the needs of the nation. Nirmala Devi Mudli says a leader should not use words with no substance to draw supporters. They should not abuse their leadership role. Anonymous says Zuma had an opportunity to govern the country. He messed it up. The ANC messed up at all levels. If we vote again for the ANC, we will have ourselves to blame. Robert Naidu says we need politicians who are fully accountable to the voters and not after money, fame, and their egos. They must not be corrupt or keep silent when done by others. And Gladys says the most honest president was Nelson Mandela. No bitterness. He built up South Africa with freedom and fairness for everyone. Yeah, those are your views. So go ahead and talk to me. And you can even ask some of those questions about what some of your confusion is about what to look out for in the build-up to elections. What are those areas that you should be analysing? Leaders, politicians, even, you know, independents, local ward councillors, everybody. How should you be analysing them ahead of polls? Go ahead and ask me those questions. We'll put it forward to our guests.
The boys of Steve Parker resist to leave the pitch without a ticket to the semis. But there's a big problem. Kevin Hunt's boys say the last dance of happiness belongs to them. This is the Nedbank Cup quarterfinal battle. Stellies versus Matatanza Pitori. On Saturday, 13 April at 2:30 p.m. Live on SABC 1 and SABC radio stations. Also available on SABC Plus and SABCSport.com. Hashtag, we love it here. Proudly brought to you by SABC Sport.
For the love of the game. Hi guys, your favorite mom vlogger here, talking all things family entertainment with Deal or No Deal now on SABC 2 weekdays at 6:30 p.m. Umalume is trying to make it onto the show and have his life changed. Quick, Amanda Malume, Mama and I are the number one Mubango fans at 9 p.m. all week because the storylines stay hot. And my two little people can't wait for May when Raid the Cage kicks off with SABC 2. See La Familia, keeping those family bonds strong. Until next time.
Yeah, so it's Newsbreak Talk, and it's where we get to give your views a voice. We are talking about effective leadership in the build-up to the May 29th election, trying to give you a sense as to how you go about casting your vote in the build-up to the election. So let's take that conversation forward. Joining me on the line now to talk about this is the chairperson of the Active Citizens Movement, or the ACM, Dr. Nora Seneca. Dr. Seneca, welcome to Newsbreak.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
We were talking about, leadership, and we spoke to Advocate Paul Hoffman. He gave us a great sort of national overview of so much to look into in terms of where we look at it within the national context on a local level. Because I know the ACM is always doing a lot of community work to underscore leadership, to identify correct leadership, and then empower citizens on how to go about holding leaders accountable. Going into elections, what are some of your concerns about effective leadership?
Yes, well, I think firstly we have to question leadership, because a lot of our so-called leaders are not really leaders, they are followers, and they're following where they think it's to their own advantage. They probably have followed into a community of the like-minded as well. And others perhaps feel a bit afraid. If they speak up, I'll be fired, for example. I'll be left in the lurch. I have a family to support. Questions like that. So they become silent and complicit in what is happening for the sake of loyalty to the cause, for historical reasons maybe. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, who are in this camp and to whose benefit? Who is actually benefiting at the end of the day? Because something is really wrong with what's happening with these levels of corruption that we're being faced with. And whistleblowers themselves are being intimidated. ACM has taken a strong stand to support whistleblowers and a strong stand against corruption. So in communities, we need to create a necessary doubt about what leaders or leadership is actually saying. We need to question how much wealth is actually funneled up to a limited number of families within South Africa as a whole, and not down to the communities that need it. How much money is being spent on weapons, for example, security guards, the Blue Light Brigade. So we need to put the whole issue of leadership into question as a doubt, as something we must doubt. And it's not just a personal problem for the individual when it comes to voting. It's a social problem. And it's actually creating emergency situations in different communities, with water crisis being what it is.
I want to talk to you about that, Ms. Seneca, to a very local level now. And what I get a lot when I speak to communities, when I go to communities, is that I don't know who my councillor is. Rather, my councillor is so absent. I can't actually see my councillor doing anything. When I do go to raise something, it's just, falls on deaf ears. What to do in that regard, right, when a councillor is so underperforming in local wards, because this is really the sort of the nucleus, really, of municipal delivery. What should South Africans do? I mean, how do they ensure that they are able to identify on that ward candidate list who's actually going to do the job?
That's really hard. So one has to go and personally and ask certain critical questions of the council, of the candidates, get to know them, get to know who they are, And to also remember that, for example, in Uchikwini, it's just being controlled by the ANC, for example, and KCON is controlled by the DA. Then if you're in another political party, it's actually quite hard to access the kind of help that you feel your communities need. So it's always about the dominant party, whichever it is, playing positions of control over financial resources. So we must realize that any municipality, there's the IDP, Integrated Development Plan, in which if something is not on that Integrated Development Plan, it will be left out. For example, early childhood education is not put onto that, or community health clinics for babies and toddlers. It's not actually put onto that IDP, it will be left off. And there have been a number of consultations around it recently on the IDP. People have to realize also that their individual voice is not heard. One has to join civil society movements, organizations such as Active Citizens Movement, where you have a collective voice. And there is a civil society coalition where you're attempting dialogue with the municipality to gain a stronger voice, and so that we can also engage productively with the municipality to empower both civil society and municipal delivery.
Yeah. So, an age-old one, Dr. Seneca, has also been for me, was when somebody says, well, I want to vote a particular councillor in, but what is the point of that? Because the municipality or the council, or even if you're looking at it within the metro perspective, that's, you know, governed or ruled by a particular party. So what is the possibility of my councillor from an opposition party making any dent when the council is managed and run by another party altogether? I mean, hard to broach a topic like that.
Yes. So it is difficult. And we must realize that if we have doubts, we start feeling disempowered, we are less likely to take a stand on certain issues that are critical. It's critical to our children, to the type of society that we want. So we have to try and seek and create and mobilize a leadership that can take up certain causes, no matter which political party they're in. As far as I'm concerned, we are in, for example, a climate emergency. And we do need champions who will stand up in terms of environmental issues and causes and not be afraid. So this is where, collectively again, if we're standing behind a particular issue and we've got a councillor that can actually speak out, and not alone even, but perhaps with other support from other organizations, then it's a much stronger position. People are tend to be rewarded or punished for their belief in a certain political party, but it's not about a belief in a political party. It's about looking at the issue and looking at it in terms of the golden rule. Do as you would be done by, or how would I feel in that position if I was there? There's a lack of empathy in political leadership. And this is, I think, there's somehow disconnected from what's happening on the ground, and it's up to us as civil society to actually bring the issues forward. And ACM is very fortunate in that we have a ground-up view. We have a bottom-up view of the most marginalized in our society and the most vulnerable.
Yeah, I think those are definitely, it's good to have those sort of infrastructures in place to watch that, you know, to identify, keep tabs really on where things are going wrong. But I think, you know, the The idea of loyalty, Dr. Sinek, and I wonder your thoughts on that. Often, and this popped up, we actually were meaning to do an entire talk show about it, but, you know, I think with our scheduling, we don't know if we could actually fit it in. But, you know, there's this line that's been coined before, biryani politics, as it were. So politicians would go and give biryani to people or a T-shirt and say, vote for me, and that's how they secure a vote, right? And then they don't do anything else for the community other than just that one day of something. But the rationale that came behind it, almost academically or analytically, was that, well, these are communities who actually need a plate of biryani for the night because they don't have it. They're that poor, they're that you know, marginalized, and also from a socioeconomic perspective, that uneducated, right, where they would not understand that this is not sustainable. So they're happy to take a 10 kilo rice or a gallon of oil because, wow, this is something I've not had in my home for like 3 months and I'm getting it from this party. Look how much they're doing for me. Let me go and vote for them. So I think my question to you is the loyalty aspect, how to mitigate that and be a bit more critical. A lot of people also tell me, you know, I vote for parties that have had a, you know, a century-long legacy or decade-long legacy because they have been standing at the forefront speaking up for me. But are they doing it today? So your thoughts on legacy and loyalty?
Yeah, so we all have a certain bias or a lens through which we look at the political parties. And the political parties themselves are not encouraging critical thinking, as you pointed out. I don't think that you can fool all of the people all of the time. And I think the political parties actually underestimate the level of cynicism. But unfortunately, you can also be cynical about your cynicism and then disconnect from political engagement. And many of the people are being persuaded to choose their tribe over truth. You know, the biryani for a certain community, but probably roast meat for another community, or T-shirts handed out left, right, and center. People are not stupid. For example, if they see Gauteng cars with flags and banners popped outside a student venue trying to sort of co-opt students with free T-shirts and what have you. I think the students are pretty savvy, but they like to feel that sense of belonging and belonging to a group that has a sense of power and authority. So this is a dangerous trend. It's a tend towards believing authoritarianism, believing the stronger voice regardless of the truth. So this is where I'm saying people are preferring their tribe over the truth because of that sense of wanting to belong to a particular group or that sense that need to feel that sense of pride. So bias is our GPS system that's guiding us through this, bias and not truth. And this is where journalism becomes so important, you know, to keep ourselves informed, but also to keep questioning all the time, is this the truth? And ask, who is benefiting from this? Where is the money coming from to bring down all these cars from Gauteng to organize all these NK public relations exercises by vulnerable young students? And I say they're vulnerable, but at the same time, they're pretty strong-willed as well. And, you know, they've got to think for themselves, what is public virtue? We all need to think, what is public virtue here, rather than just acts of service to the community, like handing out food.
So, like, running out of time, so I want to wrap this one up. But a question that came through, I just want to get your thoughts on it. ACM, have you contested elections before?
Oh, no. We are non-party political.
We're
a civil society movement. We retain our independence, but we can have that independent and critical voice when it comes to what kind of activities and actions are actually going on in the political sphere without being implicated ourselves. But of course, each one of us can make our own personal decisions as to where we are going to vote or not vote. where we're going to mobilize or not mobilize in terms of certain issues like early childhood education or environmental concerns. Yes.
Amazing, ma'am. Thank you so much for that, taking us into the phrase of how local communities need to be assessing leadership styles, and we look forward to taking those engagements with you. Value the work that you do, so I think you really also help us handle, like you said, journalistically and within the media, the communication that is disseminated out there. So yeah, we definitely look forward to keeping those channels open.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and just to say also that we are organising an event where we're bringing Judge Daya Pillay from the Independent Electoral Commission to address an ACM discussion meeting at the Blue Waters Hotel on human rights day.
That sounds wonderful. I'll keep tabs on that. Thank you so much, ma'am. We'll talk to you soon. That was Dr. Nora Saneka, the chairperson of the Active Citizens Movement. Gives me just enough time to try and fit some messages on the programme here. Let's go to Mrs. Lou Pillay.
Good afternoon, Daresh. Yes, it's going to be a very difficult election that's coming up. I think people wouldn't know what to do. But if you look at the community leaders, very few of the leaders know help the people regarding water, lights and rates and the heavy light accounts. I think there's very few of them. So in order to put across, if they don't stand for independent, which party are you going to vote for? People have suffered in the last 2 years. Thank you, Daresh.
Mr. Pillay, always a pleasure to hear from you. Thanks so much for that. Let's go to Mr. Ian Govender.
Good day, Daresh. A good leader's qualities, among others, are humility, integrity, respect, honesty, and courage. A good leader will visit communities and listen to the voters to get new ideas instead of sitting in the office on well-cushioned sofas. A leader will ensure that taxpayers' monies are used for their benefit and get rid of corrupt officials. A good leader will get rid of useless ministers and ensure that the government works in the interest of the people. Our leaders must emulate our late President Nelson Mandela. Thank you.
Ranjani Reddy, your thoughts on that?
Good afternoon, Taresh. Trust you well. Thank you for your daily updates and also for your work put in and the concerns of our country and the elections. And Taresh, it's so true about knowing your rights, claiming your rights, living your rights with the right people that we vote for. And we have good people on the floor and councillors and everyone that is going to be in ruling. I pray everything goes well. God bless. Have a blessed weekend. Lots of love. Ranjani Reddy.
Thanks, Ranjani. Scully.
Hi, good afternoon to you, Taresh. It's Scully. I quite concur with Salim Adam. I worked with him sometimes, CNJ. He mentioned Raj Bansi, leader, born leader. He mentioned Nelson Mandela, father of our nation, born leaders. You hear of calling, you know, people have calling for whatever. Leadership is also a calling and to the right people, you know, who knows people. Thank you.
You know, two things I'm guaranteed of on the show, right? Scully and his last-ditch message, and Frank from Bitter Maritzburg commenting on that message. So those are the two things that make my show every weekend. No jokes aside, let's go to more messages to wrap it all up now. Let's go to this voice note. I think it's Kogi.
Hi, Taresh. Good to hear from you every Saturday and Sunday. This is Rama from Woodview. I'm late on your air today. But today I'm hearing to you and the good topic you brought in. I feel that we should vote for the party that really take care of us. Once we were taxpayers, we used to work, but today we are seniors and we got no job. We collect that little grant. What are we to do with that little grant? We have to pay for light and water. We have to buy food. When our lights are cut, when we got no food, we don't even get the ampers from the DA that come from municipality. It's so sad to hear, to put it on air. But the only person that comes to us is the DLC, helping us with our lights and water bill and caring for us.
Yeah, that was actually Rumba from Woodview. Rumba, it's so wonderful. And I do hope that you do come and visit us when we come to Phoenix. It's been a while. Rani in Stangamanis is a great leader who runs country successfully at those who are brave. Anonymous says, in those days, if we spoke out against the apartheid regime, we would have been snuffed out. But these days, if we speak the truth about some lethargic counselors, we will also be snuffed out. And Frank says, biryani, bhangra, paisa, KFC, t-shirts, balloons. One counselor even gave cabbage for votes. Really, Frank? Okay. Listen, I can't count that out. We'll have to wrap up the program there. It came your way courtesy of the team led by executive producer Salma Patel and Chanel Daniel. Tomorrow, we look at independence. What are they bringing forward to the electoral space? We'll talk about that tomorrow between 12 and 1 o'clock. From me, Taresh, hey, have an awesome day.
Newsbreak. Lotus FM. Powered by SABC News.